Gimel Shvat, Monday the 14th of January, Rav Dudi Rosenberg, Rhetoric or Resolution? Today's share has been sponsored by Le'ilu Nishmos, Rabbi Yitzchok Svi ben Menachem Moshe Meir, and Rabbi Chezkel ben Naftali. Aleichem Shalom.
Right, if I can share some difficulties which arose as I was going through the Parshas in Chemish, the climax leading towards Yitzchis Mitzrayim, this week's Sedra is the 10th and the final Makkah, which is Makkas Bechoros. There's a lead-up to Makkas Bechoros, which starts in last week's Sedra, and that's what we're going to focus on. To discuss some difficult psukim in Parshas Vaeiro that ostensibly allude to this particular Makkah. Let's just put things in perspective. We're speaking about it being between the Makkas of Shechin and Burot. And this is where the difficulties arise. I hope that the printout will help you follow the relevant text, and we'll proceed to list the difficulties. Question number one. The first box says, V'lo yochlu achatumim lamoid lifnei Moshe b'pnei Ashkin, ki yoashkin b'chartimim b'chol Mitzrayim. Which is already, before we go any further, seems to be a topical illusion, a double-double. If the magicians could not stand in front of Moshe because they had Shechin on them, it stands to reason that the Shechin was on the Chatumim. That's one. We'll come back to it. Second question. Why is there, in fact, this particular printout is not a Samach on Pusik Yid Gimel, but there is a space there. In most Chemushim, there's a Samach there, which seems to connote that there's a new segment, a new parsha, something which has been placed in from Vayoyim Hashem El Moshe, and concludes just before Shvi. Now, what actually was going on in these few psikim? Because if you look at the real introduction of Burot, it starts only at Parshas Shvi with the words Oitchu Mistoyle El Ba'ami, and then the Rebbein Shalom through Moshe introduces the idea of Burot. But the word Burot or anything else around it is very questionable whether that is the meaning of the previous psukim. So the second question is, what's the sum of the space, and why is this new chapter being inserted between Shechin and Burot? Okay. Third question is, if you look at the Pusik Yidalet, it says the Kibapamaso is on this occasion Anishalech es kol magefoisai el lipcho. El lipcho, you can see with lined, because what is there about a makkah that is mentioned here that is el lipcho, to your heart? It doesn't connote the national state of cardiac arrest. We're speaking about el lipcho, that there's something which is going on in the minds and in the psyches of the Mitzrayim, which needs clarification. The fourth question is a very difficult question, because the Pusik says, Ki bapam azois on this occasion ani sholeach es kol magefoisai, all my plagues, el lipcho. And there Rashi, which I've printed at the bottom, says, Lumadnu mikam on Pusik Yidalet, we learn from here, shemakas bechoyros shekulo keneged kol hamakos. That makas bechoyros, which is in fact the tenth makka, is shekulo keneged kol hamakos. Now, we are not up to makas bechoyros at this point, we are actually up to makas shchin. We're up to Makkas Burot. And the question is asked by the Cheskuni, the Klei Yukar, the Sifsei Chachomim, who actually changed the word from Bechoyrois to Bakurois. Bakurois means the first ripened fruit. And referring to Burot as a twist on the Rashi in order to try to make it fit in, or to learn pshat, that's really what Pusik is referring to. But on the face of it, Rashi is speaking about Makkas Bechoros. And the question is, why is Makkas Bechoros introduced over here? Now, even if you say that really he meant Makkas Bechoros, and we're speaking about the Makkah of Burot, then why would there be as kol magefoisai, that this is a really important, significant Makkah, a deathly Makkah? If we're speaking about the destruction of the crop, and that now Mitzrayim is filing bankrupt, there's nothing to feed the nation with. On the face of it, Arbe, which follows, and cleared up what the Burot left behind, Vachitu Vakisemes, the nation which is still left with wheat, that's still left with spelt, can still survive. But subsequent to the Arbe, there was nothing to eat. So the Arbe was much and far more deathly and profound than the Makkah of Burot. So why would Kol Magei Foisai refer to Burot? This is just to question the twist which Sifso Chachumim, Kliyuka, others translate in this word Bechurois, Bechoris. And then again, this Kol Magei Foisai. Okay. The last question, is question number 5, would be Ki Atu Shulachti Esud, which is again in the Pusik Tezvov, I have now extended my hand, the Bein Shalom says, V'ach Oyscho Ves Amcho Baduve, and I have smitten you and your nation with Deve. Now the last Makkah wasn't Deve. The last Makkah was Shchin. So why does he mention Deve at this point? There's a very important Rashi explaining this at this point, but I'll just recap those questions because on the face of it, they're challenging questions and they're staring you in the face. First question was about the Chatumim. Why does it say, "V'cholayochlo Chatumim lamed v'nei Moshe v'nei Hashchin"? Yashchin b'Chatumim. Obviously, if they couldn't stand in front of Moshe because of the Shchin, then the Shchin was on the Chatumim. The second question was the Samach, the space. What's this insert of a new chapter? The third question was, "Ki ba'pam azoyis ani sholech es kol magei foisai el lipo." What's this got to do with the heart? Dvurim shebelev. Which dvurim shebelev are we speaking about here? What things were going through in their heart? Fourth question was, "Es kol magei foisai," referring to Makkas Bechoras. Makkas Bechoras has no place here. Makkas Bechoras was at the end. We're speaking here about Makkas Burot. Then we spoke about Es Kol Magei Foisai, and then the significance of the Burot vis-a-vis Arbe. And finally, we said Ki At Shlachti Es Yudi Ves Amcho Baduve. Duve was not the last Makkah. The last Makkah was, in fact, Shchin. Let's proceed to try and answer the questions by understanding and appreciating the difference and the distinction between the first 5 Makkas and Shchin. So, the first 5 Makkas appeared to affect the Mitzriim extraneously. Forces that came from external sources, i.e. Dam withheld the drinking source. They had no water. That's something which is a problem which comes from outside. There's nothing to drink. The frogs, again, came from outside. They bit them, they assaulted them, they entered their bodies, even though it says Ibechu, but they came from outside. The lice crawled on them, again, from outside, causing the discomfort. The wild animals, they frightened them, they mauled them. The deve caused them huge monetary loss as their livestock perished. But with the advent of Shechin, a new phenomenon appears. The Rebbein Shalom's power is not merely dominating and governing external factors, but is actually able to control them physically and somatically. Their bodies were now governed by the Eibishter. They could see with their eyes the skin erupting in boils. The only other Makkah that affected them in that way, the ultimate governing of their body, was Makkas Bechoras, which took them from life to death. So we see something of a parallel. We see a similarity. So, let's continue from here. First question we asked was about the Shchin, that it was on the Chatumim, and the Chatumim had the Shchin, so the Shchin had the Chatumim, so therefore they couldn't stand in front of Moshe. It stands to reason, it seems to be a Now, when the Shechin appeared on the bodies of the Chatumim, who were the ultimate deniers of the supernatural force of the Rebbein Shloim's intervention, This was the greatest embarrassment that could be for the Chatumim. I'll bring to your attention the Evan Ezra over here, which says that Yituchen, just at the one before the bottom, that the Chatumim could actually avoid some of the other Magefois, including, he mentions Tzvardeya Urayv, with the ability of magic. But when it came to the boils, if we pick up the Ramban, an allusion of the Ramban in the last box at the bottom, it's fascinating. Boishu, says the Ramban, Vehikolmu, they were embarrassed, they were humiliated, V'chofu roishom, b'yoysom, b'leim shchin, they were covered in boils, their whole bodies, V'lo yochlu malet afshom, there was no escape for them at all. Alkein, therefore, lo yibor b'hechal ha-melech, they did not enter the palace of the king, and in fact, lo yiniru lifnei Moshe b'chutzos, they even avoided Moshe in the streets. V'hoyim b'vateim b'sugorim, so all they were, we had the picture of the great conjurers with their wee wee winky hats, lying in bed with a thermometer, with this dreadful, debilitating shchin, which really was proof that they were osbalbuas, and suddenly the Rebbein Shloim afflicted their body with boils. So what? So now we extend, because the Pusik is accentuating that. Because there was this turn of this makkah where Shechin actually governed their bodies, this was a huge humiliation for them. This was something there was no avoiding there. The Chatumim were actually plagued by this, and their bodies were plagued by this. Now we continue to question number two, which was the insert that appeared out of context. We're not introducing a Purot here. This chapter is referring to Makas Bechoyres, as Rashi clearly says. And it's describing the ferocity of Makas Bechoyres, and there is an equation between Shechin and Makas Bechoyres. Because Shechin, in the same way that it governed their bodies, so did Makas Bechoyres ultimately take their bodies. Both of these affected and controlled and governed them. And now we move on, as a result, to question 3 and 4. Why does it say Elipcho? What's this Elipcho? What was it that was going through in the heart of the Egyptians? We can now understand and appreciate these words. Because only the Yodea Machshuvos, the Rebbein Shloilem himself, knew the deep fear that was in the heart of the bodies of the Mitzriim. They thought they could escape the divine control over themselves and their bodies. And this myth was dispelled with Makas Shechin. Therefore, the Rebbein Shloilem says, if you think that this is the turn of events that concludes here, where you're going to see that I'm Balbus on your body, let me tell you that Makas Bechoyres is going to be much worse. That's going to be Kol Magefoisai. And there it'll be a situation where Ein Bayis Sashe, Ein Shomeis, at one swift fell swoop, at midnight, hundreds of thousands of Egyptians are going to die by the Tzivui Hashem, who is governing, controlling, and authority over the Egyptian bodies. Memaile, we understand now this Rasha. The Rasha says and explains to you, Lumadnu Mikan, we learn here, just after Makas Shechin, She Makas Bechoyrois, Shekulu Kneged Kol HaMakas. We don't have, according to this, a necessity to turn Rashi's word from Bechoyrois into Bakurois. He is referring to Makas Bechoyrois, and the significance of Makas Bechoyrois, and the comparison of Makas Bechoyrois here to the last Makas of Shechin, where the Rebbein Shalom is saying to the Egyptians, yes, it's true, I know what was going through Elipcho, I know what was going through your mind, the Yodei Machshuvos knows the fear that you had when Shechin suddenly took over your bodies. And now we understand, finally, the last part about the mention of Deve, because the Rebbein Shalom said through Moshe, in Pusik Yidalat it says, "Ki b'pam azoyis ani shalech es kol megefoyis velipchui b'avudeich v'amechu b'avudeich da k'ein k'moyin b'chol uretz, ki atu shulachti es yudi, I have extended my hand and my might, v'ach oyischu v'ez amchu b'dover." Why is the Deve mentioned, we asked? After all, Deve was one before the last Makkah. The last Makkah was Shechem. And Rashi goes and actually brings to the forefront what was going through the mind of the Egyptian at that time. Because Deve, if you think of the Egyptian populace gazing out of their windows and witnessing thousands of sheep, cows and horses perishing in front of their eyes, and they must have thought to themselves, if the Ribbono Shel Olam is able to take the lives of so many hundreds of thousands of livestock, then what's to stop him taking the lives of human beings too? What's in it? And Rashi brings this to the forefront, and he says, Ki atu shulachti es yudi in pusik tesvuv, ki ili rutzisi, if I would have wanted to, ki shehoisu yudi b'miknecho, when I extended my might to your cattle, shehikesim baduva, and I destroyed them in Makas Deve, shelachtio v'hikesi oischo v'esamcho, I could have just as well wiped you, Egyptians, off the face of the earth. V'esamcho ima b'haimos, v'atikuchet min hu'uretz, and he would have vanished from the face of the earth altogether. And then he says, ba'avizois he'ma d'ticho, which brings us to the conclusion. Because ba'avizois he'ma d'ticho beckons a question. If, like we just said, that the Makkah Shechem was a turn of events that actually showed that there was a distinction between this Makkah and the other Makkahs, and Makkah Shechem governed their bodies and showed the Ribbono Shel Olam's authority of something from within, then why was it necessary afterwards to follow up with Buad, which was an external force, Albe, which was an external force, Choshech, which was again an external force, before coming to Makkas Bechoras? So now we understand the last part of this little chapter here before Shavi. And the Ribbono Shel Olam says, if you want to know why you're hanging on there and I haven't destroyed you that, V'ulom ba'avir zois he'em adatichu, I've kept you around here, ba'avir haroischu es koichi, there's another agenda here. I have to show my might and I have to display the splendor and the koich of the Ribbono Shel Olam, ulaman sapesh mi b'chol hu'uretz, that the Ribbono Shel Olam's majesty has got to be known throughout the world, and therefore you guys are going to have to hang on here, because I still have to make you suffer for Choshech. You're going to have darkness, you're going to have burot, you're going to have hailstones, you're still going to have locusts, and then, only then, will you realize through Makkas Bechoras that it's time for the Ge'ilah, that the Ribbono Shel Olam is the one that's shoilet entirely. And so there, we've answered all the questions, because question number one was, if I'll just go back to the beginning, was the Chatumim, why the Pusik repeats the words, because of the huge embarrassment of the Chatumim at the Shechin having entered their body and there was no way out of escaping it. The second question was the Samach, why this whole chapter here is separated and in a segment of its own, is because it's referring to Makkas Bechoras, which is really out of context, and we're not speaking about Makkas Burot, like Rashi explains. The question we asked about the Madnish Makkas Bechoras, Shkulu Keneged Kol HaMakkas, we're not speaking about Bakuris, we're speaking about Makkas Bechoras, and the reason that Makkas Bechoras was mentioned here is because of its significance in conjunction with Makkas Shechin, and the two of them, which are powers from within. The last question we said, Ki'atu shlachti es yudi ves amcho ba'dove, because Dove was the point when they started to really think that if God can decimate so many millions of animals, it means nothing to him to actually destroy the human beings too. And that's why it was El Lipcho, because the Ribbono Shel Olam was being megala to them and revealing to the Egyptians that he knew exactly what they were concerned and what was going through their heart. I hope we've resolved those questions. We've got a few minutes left. I'd like just to repeat a thought along again with the question of the Makkas, which I heard from my father-in-law, Zchonu Livracha, Chaske Besser, and he his Yutzat is in Shvat too, so therefore it happens to be pertinent. He was sitting by the Seder in London, and as we were following the words of the Haggadah, we came to the words Vayureyu Oisunu Amitzim Vayanunu. The Egyptians made us evil. Ichi questioned as far as Diktuk is concerned, the word should normally be Vayureyu Lonu Hamitzrim. If he's going to do bad, they are going to do bad to us. You can't say Vayureyu Oisonu. Vayureyu Lonu means that they did bad to us. And the second question he asked was, the pusik which the Balaguda brings is Vayureyu Oisonu Hamitzrim Vayanunu Kemushnema. What's the raya that they did bad to us? Let us think of devising plans how to rid ourselves of this nation. Is that the ultimate bad? You want to speak about the ra that was done by the Mitzrayim to the Yidden, and you say because of because they were devising plans. They took their children and they murdered them and genocide and plunged them into the water. They bathed in their blood and they put them into bricks. You want to give an example of Ra? Why is it Vayirei Yisunu? Because of Huven Ischak Muloi. Those are the questions that he asked at the Seder. And he told us a story, which is a very beautiful answer to this question. He told us about the times when the German government after the war paid reparations for victims of Nazi persecution. And there was a man from a town called Skarżysko in Poland who had fraudulently in the war in New York, this was, received reparations under various false names. Linke Stiefel. And through that he managed to get under 20 or 25 different names. He was collecting money from the Germans. The German government were gunning for him and they wanted to threaten him with imprisonment because this was fraud. And they approached my father-in-law to appeal on his behalf and to try and save him from incarceration. So he met with the German consul in New York. And she was a new lady to the job. Her name was Dr. von Kotzebue. And the lady asked incredulously, "I don't understand, what's in defense of this man? It's a straightforward fraudster, and what are you asking on his behalf?" So my Schwer said, "Allow me to tell you a story about this man." And he started. He said, in 1941, the German police came and they announced in his town that all Jews are to gather into the town square. 3,000 Yidden stood for 8 hours in the freezing cold and rain to break their resistance. A man in polished boots and crisp uniform spoke, and he told them that there were three columns. There was the left, the right, and the center. Children up to 15 to the right, from the ages of 15 to 55 in the middle, and over 55 to go to the left. This boy was 14 years old at the time. He should have gone to the right. His instinct told him to move to the middle. At that moment, he told his first lie. It saved his life. The next day, everyone in the middle group was asked if they had vocational training. Even though he was a schoolboy, he followed his instinct again and raised his hand. They asked him, "What do you do?" He said he was a cook. He'd never even boiled a kettle in his life. That was lie number two. It saved his life. Taught him a lesson. You tell the truth, you die. Tell a lie, survive. If you lie on the concentration camp menu, it meant certain death. Several weeks, that's all it took. If, however, he stole potatoes from the barracks of the SS, there was a chance he might survive. The third lesson he learned. If you're honest, you'll die. If you're a thief, you might survive. And so the innocence of his childhood was robbed and substituted by a school of deceit, falsehood, and theft. At this point, my father-in-law looked at the consul, pointed an accusing finger to her, and said, "Do you know who gave him this education? You and your government. And now you wish to level this corrupted and twisted lad and turn your work against him? This is your education. You brought him up to be a thief, and you brought him up to be a liar, and you taught him how to be dishonest, and now you're going to accuse him for just that? She raised her hands and she succumbed. She says, Rabbi Besser, you win. Are you a lawyer? No, I'm just a Talmudic student. We will not prosecute this man, and I will do whatever I can to assist him. At this point, my Shver said, this is the answer to our question in the Aguda. It's not Vayureyu Lonu only. It's not that they did bad to us. It was Vayureyu Esonu. They made us into evil people. They turned us into bad people. They made us corrupt. They made us twisted. And the Baal Gud asked the question, you know how? This is a constant barrage and an incessant continuation of edicts, of decrees that changed and amended on a daily basis. What did it cause? It effectively created a suspicious and wary Jew, forever looking over his shoulder and trying to stay one step ahead of an enemy, trying to decimate him just to survive. I should help him when we marry it. It should be Kurov Yoim, Ashehi, Lo Yoim, Veloy Lailu, Tui Ku Oyer, Yoim Cheshkas Lailu. It should be a Gile Schleime, Shirt, Kainis, or Kimim, Hairobi, Mai.